this is Joe Tomlin at the San Francisco Fringe, and I'm speaking with a performer here. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, this is a performer, and my name is Bill Santiago, and I'm here at the San Francisco Fringe doing my my solo show called The Immaculate Big Bang, and it's all about science and religion, and my little daughter, my dad, and it's been getting some traction, so I'm very happy with the show. I've been doing it at a couple of fringes, and I'm so happy to be performing it at the San Francisco Fringe because I used to live in San Francisco. This is where I came to kick off my my stand-up career for reals this time. I moved here after being a journalist in Puerto Rico. And when I moved here, I lived right in this neighborhood, actually, in the Tenderloin. So this is actually my stomping grounds, my old hood. And it hasn't changed a bit. And it's in a way, it's kind of refreshing, you know. So I feel right at home here, and it's great to bring this show back.
Great. And why did you choose to do stand-up?
I just, you know, when you're in your youth, sometimes things stick with you as, wow, I think that's something I can relate to, I identify with. And it was a way of publicly questioning everything that I heard was true, which I was skeptical about, and giving my take on. And I used to see these guys come on TV doing it so effortlessly, and I had no idea what was behind it, but it looked like it was all off the cuff. I didn't know there was a career. I didn't know there was a process. I didn't know there was a struggle. They just looked so cool. And I related to what they say, and even more importantly, how they were thinking. Because I was like, I think like that. And eventually, you know, some of your friends in your circle start figuring out how to get into this, how to do the open mics, and you get sort of literally sucked into it, and then you make a game plan and you change it up as you go, and here I am.
Wow. And what do you have to learn to be a stand-up comedian?
Well, I can tell you what everyone else will tell you, but what no one tells you is that you have to learn how to manage your psyche, your mental resilience to the ups and downs that you're going to be subjected to, the things people are going to say, the horrible way you're going to feel after a bad show, especially a bad show after a great show, because it is there's such a range of emotion, you know, and a feeling about the world and yourself, and it just changes on a dime. And if you don't learn how to manage that, you know, how to buffer it, how to rein it in and balance yourself out, it will be very difficult thing to survive the fun stuff. So that is what I will tell you. Yeah, the rest you can figure out.
And how do you decide on a performance style?
The audience tells you everything. They tell you your performance style. They tell you the material, because you're putting out lots of stuff, and it's like a Venn diagram, right? There's what you think is funny and a way that you think it's funny, but the audience will tell you whether or not that stuff works and whether or not the way you're doing it works, whether or not your timing works, whether your delivery works. So you're kind of developing it in conjunction with them. And whatever they respond to, that's the Venn diagram that you keep if it's something that's in line with the standards that you set up for yourself for what you want to put out. Because they will laugh at some things that you don't want to do, right? So it has to be an agreement between what you want to do, what you want to put out there about yourself and the world, and what they are willing to laugh at. That middle ground is that's the money.
So what happens if you find an audience that is a bit more quiet than usual? Do you have techniques to stir things up a bit, or how do you manage? Because you mentioned the psyche is very important. So how would that affect you?
Yeah, you're plugging in. It's like talking to one person, but like times however many people there are. But it's one body of people in one particular state of mind, and you learn how to read that. So you're adjusting. You at a certain point you have to figure out where their frequency is, and you have to plug into that and then get them to your level as much as possible. If you can get them there, then the rest of it is a free ride. You know, if not, it can be a struggle. It can be touch and go. It's not always going to work. If it doesn't work, you figure out why, if possible, and you put that into your skill set for next time. But you're always trying to read the audience, and then at a certain while, after you do it for a while, you're not begging anymore for it. You know, you do what you can to get them on board, but you know what you want to do, you know what you can do, and you put a little responsibility on them to meet you where you're at. You know, yeah.
And how do you come up with your topics?
Well, what are you thinking about constantly? That eventually comes out of your mouth, and if there's enough of it, you're like, hey, this deserves some more in-depth treatment. And you try it out, and it builds, and it aggregates, and it becomes a chunk, and then a whole thing.
And you mentioned that you have, I read that you talk about quantum physics or science a lot. Is that an interest in yours, or is this something that you've developed as, you know, for the stand-up?
I've always been interested in, you know, anything science and science fiction, you know, and but that all developed as a result of the igniting incident for this show, which was the death of my father, where you start to question everything. What is there? What does that mean? You know, and I noticed that. Both sides of the fence, the science side and the religion side, are really going after some very, very deep questions in very distinct ways, but going after the unexplained, you know, which is what I'm after because I'm looking for answers. And so I kind of decided to give them both equal amount of time and respect as an exploration. And whatever I'm into, I'm always looking for the humor, so then it turns into a show.
So how do audiences react in different places? Because I imagine that you travel a
lot. To this show or just in general?
In general and maybe to this show.
Well, it really depends. It depends. San Francisco, where I really got my comedy career going, it totally spoils you for the kind of stuff that I want to do. Because if I'm doing something that's difficult, that needs a little bit more attention, you know, that appreciates an intellectual exploration, that requires some thinking on your part, that isn't just jokes. You know, San Francisco is a great place for that. But the second you leave, you're going to run into audiences that are not at that level, that have different appetites, and then you have to learn how to throw a lot of stuff out, and then how to reconfigure what you do for audiences that are not quite as receptive. So you sort of have to shockproof your material that you developed here in a different way for other places.
Have you performed in different countries or in another language?
A little bit in Spanish, but not really in other countries, you know.
And where do you take your show after this?
I don't consider Canada another country. But I have performed in Canada.
And where are you taking your show after the San Francisco Fringe?
I don't know. I've done a bunch of fringes. I just did Minnesota. You know, last year I did Vancouver. And I guess I'll do a few more. It's a great way to develop the show. But I want to take it to, an actual theater run. You know, I think it would be a great cable special, Netflix, that kind of thing, HBO. I mean, it's got a ways to go, but it's on its way.
Well, I wish you good luck with that. Thank you very much for talking.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.